Ladies and gentlemen, people of the internet, welcome back to yet another episode of Crypto Over Coffee. I hope you're doing well today. And if you're new here, every Saturday we break down the latest news and the hottest topics in the world of technology and cryptocurrency over a cup of delicious coffee, which, despite my cluttered desk, is right here. That being said, in today's episode, I'm talking about the main reasons why the Cosmos Atom ecosystem is ready to explode in the coming years, our usual 404 Logic Not Found segment, and more. So make sure that you stick around for all of the updates. Now, if you like crypto, please subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notification button, or follow the podcast on your platform of choice so you get a heads up whenever I post new episodes of Crypto Over Coffee. Now, just a friendly reminder as well, please, please be aware of scammers that are all across different social media platforms, including on YouTube, posing as me in the comments. So I don't have a WhatsApp. I don't do outreach on Telegram or WhatsApp. I'm not going to ask you to contact me or sell you something. So if the comment does not have the name highlighted, like you see on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, it's not me. You can report them. Okay. So please be safe out there. And I want to remind you that every week I give away a Keystone Tablet Steel Seed Phrase backup device by picking a random comment from the YouTube video. So all you have to do is enter literally any comment on the video and you'll be entered to win. The winner of last week's giveaway by that hand is here on the screen. Congratulations, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much. Now, when you clicked this video, the anti-clickbait gods have contractually obligated me to share with you the reasons why I think the Cosmos Atom ecosystem is set to explode in 2022 and beyond. And jokes aside, that is what I intend to do in this video, well, at least in this segment. In short, the Cosmos ecosystem, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is a powerful interoperability network that allows for native cross-chain, cross-blockchain communication and transactions. You'll probably recall that interoperability is one of my biggest areas of interest, and I believe it's going to bring full-scale mass adoption of crypto. Now, this year, Cosmos has really come into its own, moving from the conceptual to the reality, as core features and protocols that were set forth in the white paper so long ago have been launched and now used in the real world. You have decentralized finance flourishing with Osmosis, a massive stablecoin environment in Terra Luna, which we've talked about before, privacy-focused blockchain platforms like Secret Network. I mean, the list goes on and on for projects that have built in the Cosmos ecosystem and are seeing success now in the real world. Now, much of this success has come in the wake of the Stargate upgrade, which happened fairly recently, which brought Cosmos to sort of the mainstream, right? It brought the implementation of the Inter-Blockchain Communication Protocol, or IBC, letting many blockchains built on that common architectural framework of Tendermint and Cosmos SDK to communicate with one another natively. In other words, blockchains that are built in the Cosmos ecosystem can transact with one another directly across different chains. So I can build a decentralized exchange that could exchange assets and liquidity from potentially hundreds of different blockchains. And it all works. Stargate and IBC brought Cosmos to the point where the white paper was fulfilled. And now, upgrades are commencing that will unlock further growth for the Cosmos ecosystem. I mean, first off, you have the Gravity Bridge, which will be sort of a connector between the plethora of Cosmos chains to the Ethereum mainnet, and that will bridge liquidity and users from Ethereum to Cosmos, and of course, vice versa. What this means is that all Cosmos chains will get interoperability with Ethereum transitively because Gravity Bridge is natively supported by the IBC connectivity protocol. On top of this, there's an entire 2022 plus roadmap of features that include wholesale upgrades and changes to the underlying Cosmos SDK and Tendermint protocols or modules that developers use to build their own Cosmos chains, as well as one of my favorite concepts, interchain accounts. Basically, interchain accounts would cross many different blockchains, simplifying custody and wallet solutions and fixing one of the most prevalent problems of fragmentation that we have in the crypto space. So the age of interoperability is here. The days of siloed and isolated blockchains are over, and Cosmos has already delivered on its original vision, and now it can innovate and build proactively to support this major shift towards true interoperability. To me, the Cosmos ecosystem will be a huge area of focus for development and adoption in the next year and beyond, and in the years to come, of course. The market continues to demand cross-chain functionality at scale without the added risk and complexity of one-off bridges. So I can't wait to see what Cosmos has in store for 2022 as the list of features they plan come to fruition. Now, as Crypto Over Coffee tradition dictates, after the headline story, we move to our crypto market update, so let's go there next. It's been a fifth week in a row where the crypto markets have been in a slump, with intermittent sell-offs that set prices below psychological levels like Ether dropping below 4,000 and Bitcoin stuck beneath the 50K mark. Now, as I sit here right now, recording this on my phone, the market is a mixed bag. There's some big gainers like Terra Luna and Aave, and all in all, though, it's pretty sideways in crypto. On Saturday, at the time of recording, things move fast, so it might be different now. But frankly, I'd much prefer sideways than the alternative, which is a big red day. People ask me fairly often, though, whether I think we are in a bear market and if we will still see prices skyrocket again in the near future. And my answer mostly remains the same. Technically, you could argue that we are in a bear market, yes, because the definition of a bear market is generally agreed upon as market conditions where prices drop 20% below highs and sentiment takes a kind of long-standing dive. I mean, we're here 30% off of Bitcoin's highs, and we've been in that range for weeks now. So yes, technically on paper, this is a bear market, but is this a multi-year bear market like we had in 2018? No, I really don't think so. And I think once we clear the tax year period, the tax end year period, and if we can shake off some of the regulatory and traditional market fear, uncertainty, and doubt, crypto could resume its overarchingly bullish patterns in 2022 when we turn the year. That said, like I alluded to in my recent video about the biggest mistakes people make in the crypto markets, it's best to have a plan in place to prepare for both bear and bull market scenarios. Now, in other news, I want to bring you back to the Cosmos universe for one moment because I want to talk about Secret Network, a privacy-focused blockchain on which many rich applications can be built with privacy features by default in the Cosmos ecosystem. It's not a secret that, yes, pun intended, I just realized that, but I am a fan of Secret Network, okay? That is no secret. I've made plenty of content about them in the past. In fact, I've talked about the topic of this segment in a past Crypto Over Coffee show several months ago, and that topic is secret NFTs, which are effectively non-fungible tokens with all the properties of uniqueness and transferability that you've come to expect from NFTs on various networks, but with a few key additional features that make them a powerful tool for the future of NFTs. So secret NFTs built on the Secret Network token standard allow for public or private ownership and public or private metadata. And they also inherit private transaction logic or private transactions from the underlying Secret Network chain itself. This means that having a public by default wallet with all your expensive NFTs, you can instead shift, make your NFTs private property until you decide to share them. And the option for private metadata opens up a world of possibilities for gaming, DeFi, and more in terms of fun things you can do. And here's an example of that. Mystic Skulls is a gamified NFT experience built with the technology. It allows users to excavate skull NFTs with various attributes that are private by default, and then progressively reveal those attributes by using alchemic potions. This private metadata option adds a post-mint gamification opportunity that can be facilitated on-chain, which I don't think people quite realize the significance of yet. So keep secret NFTs and private ownership and metadata standard at the top of your mind, because I think we're going to see it play a bigger and bigger role in the futures of NFTs and gaming, because privacy is a really powerful thing. This past week, also, MetaMask, the ubiquitous Chrome extension and mobile wallet that powers basically everything in the Ethereum virtual machine-based blockchain world, announced that it would support a whole new family of hardware wallets on their apps. So in partnership with Keystone, and yes, that is the same Keystone who sponsors the weekly giveaway here on the show, MetaMask launched an open-source QR code standard for hardware wallets that use QR code scanning for transaction signing flow. So instead of using USB inputs like you would with your Trezor, for example, wallets like the Keystone use an inbuilt camera to scan a QR code that encapsulates the raw transaction to be signed. Then the user checks the transaction before signing, that's key, and then prompts the wallet to sign the transaction. And then finally, you need MetaMask to broadcast that transaction. So using the camera on the mobile device or computer where MetaMask is running, it scans the QR code that's on the Keystone screen to pass back the now signed transaction. Remember, a transaction is just data. You can transfer it in many ways, not just with a USB. The news here is not big because of QR signing alone, but because MetaMask is now easier to use with yet another powerful hardware wallet. I use Keystone wallets all the time, and now I can use it for basically everything. So my hat goes off to both teams for pushing this to the mainstream, and now I can use Keystone for DeFi, which is great. So Keystone is just one of those companies that really focuses on providing niche features for their users, which is part of the reason why I love working with them so much, right? Now, folks, it's time for Rational Reactions, a new segment on the show where I read headlines from tech and crypto-related publications and give you my instant rational reactions. A lot of reactions to news is irrational. So let's switch over to the computer and get started with the segment. All right, we are back here on the first article of the day for Rational Reactions. And this is from Cointelegraph. I often find that Cointelegraph has really kind of interesting headlines, both good and bad at times. But anyways, first article, creating a pathway for crypto market growth through better regulation. The crypto industry as a whole needs to recognize the long-term problems inherent in the current lack of regulation and find ways to work with legislators. Now, this is one way to get people really pissed off in the crypto space and to cause these incendiary arguments around regulation. It's just like a hot button topic for people, which I get. So I'm not blaming anyone, but I actually really agree with this. I agree with this idea because the gray area that we have in the crypto regulation space causes all the fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the space. When we don't know what's going to happen, when people are getting enforcement actions for doing the same things that someone else was doing, but they didn't get an enforcement action, it just creates problems. The best way is to work with regulators and with legislators to make sure they understand what this stuff is before they regulate it and before they make laws about it. So people might hate me for saying that, but I think that that's the best outcome. Second article, Bitcoin bears lack the balls to continue selling into 2022. After the cascade to 42,000, it's likely that bears will show themselves to be quote unquote stoneless, says popular analyst Light. Okay, whenever we start talking about balls, I think we're moving away from data-driven analysis of the market and we are moving into theatrics, okay? Bears could continue selling and could continue nuking the market, especially whales, well into 2022. Not having balls, quote unquote, is not really an analysis in my book. Nothing personal, but you know, it could continue into 2022. We don't know that, so we shouldn't be saying that. Next one is U.S. Financial Stability Oversight Council identifies stablecoins and cryptos as threats to the financial system. The council recommends that state and federal regulators review available regulations and tools that can be applied to digital assets, says the FSOC. You know what's very threatening to the financial system? The fact that 80% of the US dollar supply has been printed in the last 2 years. That is what's a real risk. So there are a lot of risks to the financial system, and I agree that regulation is, in some cases, good to have, but we need to get a check on those other things. It's not just crypto that presents this sort of problem. Okay, that's my thought. Next one is Goldman Sachs says blockchain is key to metaverse and Web3 development. It looks like Goldman Sachs has just figured out the thing that we've all known since the very beginning. The thing that Facebook, well, now Meta, clearly does not understand as well. So hopefully Goldman Sachs can talk some sense into Meta and making sure that people actually can own things in that metaverse. That's just my perspective. And you know what? This next headline kind of relates to that. And it relates to it in a way that proves that they might not have this fully down, okay? Her Instagram handle was, quote, metaverse. Last month, it vanished. 5 days after Facebook changed its name to Meta, an Australian artist found herself blocked with seemingly no recourse from an account documenting nearly a decade of her life and work. In other words, Meta just didn't ask, no question, took back that handle and got rid of all the content. This person was deplatformed just by being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because Meta, they wanted the metaverse handle on their platform that they own. That's a problem because that just shows in this metaverse, unless proven otherwise, based on this evidence, we can only assume that you will not own anything in that. Meta will own everything in that space, and they will be able to take it away from you at any time. To me, that's pretty concerning. Sounds like this is an irrational reaction, but this is just based on the data that we have. So thank you for watching this segment. Let's go back over and let's do 404, logic not found, switching away from the computer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for 404, logic not found. And for those of you who are as of yet uninitiated in this little firecracker of a segment, I highlight notable tech-related fails or otherwise stupid moves in the world that need to get some attention. And speaking of attention, if you want to help this episode of Crypto Over Coffee get some attention from the algorithm robots, please, please do hit the like button, get subscribed, follow the podcast. It tells those robots that you're enjoying the content that you are watching or that you're listening to, and others might enjoy it. So thank you for that in advance. Now, today's absence of logic centers around the confirmation of the appointed chair to lead the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, or the CFTC, as commissioner by the name of Rostin Benham. And I might have mispronounced the name, so I apologize for that. Not my intention. At the confirmation hearing, Benham made a statement to the effect that crypto is a risk to financial stability and that the CFTC would be the quote-unquote primary cop on the beat. Listen, I think that there is a lot of cash grabbing, scamming, and all that jazz in crypto, no doubt. But the casino-like risk in crypto, to me, is no different than the casino-like risk in other markets as well. I'm all for providing guidelines that make it harder for scammers and frauds to take money from retail investors. But here's my main issue with that cop on the beat comment. You know what's a prerequisite to having a cop on the beat? Rules. And not just rules, but clear rules that have been made collaboratively with the people. The current state of crypto regulatory enforcement is like building a modern city with hundreds of thousands of people in it and modern new wave technology, but only having vague rules that are designed for Stone Age villages that had no technology at the time. No one knows what's allowed and what's not. You have individuals and groups in different areas subjectively enforcing the vague rules based on their interpretation that day, that week, that month. And this long-winded analogy suffices to say that without clear rules and regulations, you cannot expect A, people to follow the rules and regulations because they're not clear, and B, people to react in any way other than angrily at the inconsistent enforcement of said unclear rules and regulations. There can be no more gray area. A cop on the beat needs to have clear rules to enforce. Otherwise, they're just vigilantes acting on their interpretation of the law. I have nothing personal against Commissioner Benham, who has only just been confirmed, but I take issue with the idea that we're discussing what seems to be aggressive enforcement action when the rules are not even clear to those who are building in this space. And they're building innovative products and technology in an honest and conscientious way very often, but still have to fear regulatory intervention and enforcement. To me, the result of this is stifled innovation, good people being wrongfully targeted for enforcement, and a general feeling of anxiety in this space, which is a 404 logic not found in my book. All right, folks, it's sponsor time, which helps keep coffee flowing and this show coming to you every weekend. So I first want to shout out the long-term sponsor of Crypto Over Coffee, Ledin, who are my go-to spot for Bitcoin and USDC yield earning in their savings account product. You will not find a bank paying out 9.5 APY on USD like Ledin does for USDC. You just won't find it. And I also want to congratulate Ledin on their huge $70 million Series B funding round, which will help them build upon their already fantastic product offering. One such new offering is their recently announced Bitcoin-backed mortgage product, which lets Bitcoin holders get mortgage lending with their Bitcoin as collateral for the loan. The goal is to give more people the ability to qualify to buy property without explicitly requiring them to divest from their Bitcoin holdings. The focus on providing opportunities for people around the world is one main reason why I'm proud to support Ledin as both a customer and evangelist for their platform. So please do check out Ledin using my link in the description and pinned comment if you would like to learn more or sign up. I also want to talk about my friends at Unstoppable Domains, who provide blockchain-based domain names with extensions like .nft, .crypto, etc. With these domains, you can provide your friends a human-readable name that maps to many crypto addresses to send and receive cryptocurrency transactions and even build your own decentralized website that is routed using those domain names. So I have my own website at hashoshi.crypto, for example, where all of the content, the code, is hosted in IPFS. Now, if you want to learn more about all the things you can do with your own domain from Unstoppable Domains, check out my referral link in the description and pinned comment below to find more. And yes, these links are available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, folks. Finally, let's wrap up the show with community Q&A. I always answer questions from folks who watch the show, and I've got questions from last week's episode that I'm going to answer here. And I want to remind you that if you have a question that you want answered, leave them in the comments below on YouTube, or if you're listening on the podcast, you can tweet me at Hashoshi4. I'm always looking for questions, and any question is a good question. So let's dive in and answer these questions, which I have here on the computer ready to go. All right, so the first question that we've got on the books today is from Average Ocrity. What are your thoughts on tax loss harvesting in crypto? Sell your losses and immediately rebuy. It's not illegal now, but that doesn't mean it's illegal. I'm wondering if the IRS in the US will dispute it in the future. So what you're describing here is what you would call wash trading, and that's something that isn't allowed in equities markets and in a lot of traditional markets. In crypto, there's no rule explicitly saying that you can't do this, which is basically selling crypto when you're in a loss position and then immediately buying back in at that same price or close to it to establish your cost basis, so your entry point at that new amount or at that new value. Now, this is, like I mentioned before, this is not necessarily banned now, but you could theoretically say that the IRS will retroactively apply this as a rule that you can't do this. I think it would be more likely that they would change the rules in mid-year and then apply that to the rest of the time prior. So like maybe in June, they create this rule, you're not allowed to do this anymore. So anytime you've done this and from January to June, you have to go back and kind of reaccount those things and pay your capital gains on that asset, okay? The thing is that we really don't have any clarity on whether or not this will happen. So for now, it's really up to you whether you want to take that risk. Do you have the resources and do you have a plan in place that will allow you to pay the taxes that you would owe if you are participating in this type of strategy? The reality is your situation will be different from everyone else's. What I would recommend to you is you reach out to one of the folks out there in the crypto tax space. The people that I work with the most would be CoinTracker.io. I'll leave a link in the description below or in the description of the podcast as well. They're fantastic and they have folks on hand that can kind of explain to you the rules, how things work, and all that jazz. So thank you for your question. Next question is from Karen Borquez. Hello again. Thank you for the great work. Thank you very much for watching. I'd like to know your opinion on crypto index funds such as C20 from Invictus Capital to diversify the portfolio. Now, I don't know specifically about the C20 and the Invictus Capital offering and what that's all about, so I can't comment on that specifically. But as a general rule of thumb, I think crypto index funds are an interesting thing for people who don't have the time to do all the research to individually and pick crypto, to buy cryptocurrencies. I think it's great for people who are pretty good at identifying that crypto is an area they want to invest in, but they don't understand it well enough to plan for when to sell, how to make that plan around investing. That's perfectly fine. I think that would be a great opportunity. You can get exposure to a basket of assets. Maybe it's 25% Ether, 25% Bitcoin, and then a handful of altcoins. You pay one thing, maybe you buy it in fiat currency, and it accrues in value based on the whole net value of that basket of assets. You're basically buying shares. This is good. I think the regulatory space is a little bit murky around this, and I'm by no means an expert on the regulatory around basically the securitization of cryptocurrencies or baskets of assets. That being said, I do think, generally speaking, if it's allowed in your region and there are products available to you, if you want to get exposure to crypto, but you don't want to deal with it on a day-to-day basis, you don't want to have your own funds deployed in cryptocurrencies that you pick, you don't want to deal with wallets, it could be a pretty good option. So what do you think? Let me know in the comments. Next question is from Body2. How do you track your crypto portfolio, especially NFTs? Do you use a spreadsheet or other crypto portfolio software? I'm struggling to keep up with all my crypto transactions. So this is a great question, and unfortunately, there's no single great answer. For all my fungible tokens, and some of my NFTs. I use that aforementioned CoinTracker.io software. It does all my taxes for me, and it aggregates all my wallets. I can keep track of everything there. It doesn't track everything, though, because no system can track everything that's going on in the space, so I have to do some manual stuff, too. So I do have an Excel sheet that I keep interesting things related to, like, to NFTs, for example, or tokens that I buy that aren't supported on CoinTracker.io. So that I have. Those two things together are what I use for sort of my main accounting purposes. For just tracking portfolio, I use CoinStats, and that's just a way for me to keep track of what's in my portfolio, get price alerts and warnings when things are moving and things are volatile. So it's like if something's up 5% or 10%, I want to get a notification on my phone so I can go and maybe make a sell move, right? Maybe I need to sell. If something's going down, I can just be aware of that. So that combination, CoinTracker.io, an Excel spreadsheet, and CoinStats is my well-rounded sort of portfolio tracking and decision-making tool set. Thank you for your question. And finally, we have Cypher Monk. Does iTrust do self-directed Roth? And so this is a question about iTrust Capital, partner of the channel, folks that I work with all the time. And I have my own iTrust Capital individual retirement account or IRA with them. So they do offer traditional pre-tax IRAs and Roth IRAs. So yes, the answer to your question is they do. They are also by nature using the self-directed type of IRA where you can invest in things that are not traditional. So not equities markets, for example. And so you can, in your iTrust Capital IRA, you can purchase gold, you can purchase cryptocurrency. So it's self-directed in that sense. That's the sort of the holding term for what iTrust Capital is doing in terms of their offering around traditional and Roth IRAs here in the US. But of course, you can also set up your own self-directed IRA. And there are plenty of examples of people doing this to invest in a variety of different things. But of course, you should consult a tax professional if you are looking to do something like that, because there are unique situations for everyone. And there are rules, specific rules about this, how much you can contribute, what you can buy, what you can do, how to structure it to protect yourself, all of that stuff. So please, if you're trying to set your own up, make sure you talk to somebody about it first that is a professional, because I am not one. But if you want to sign up for iTrust Capital, as always, links in the description, as it is in every single video, and really appreciate your questions about cryptocurrency, about really anything. Again, if you have questions for future episodes, leave them in the comments or tweet me. Now, folks, I want to thank you so much for watching or listening to Crypto Over Coffee. I appreciate you so much. I will be back with an episode on Christmas Day. I'm going to record it the day before because Christmas Day is family day, but we're going to have a really cool episode. We're going to be doing some giveaways for Christmas Day. But most of all, if you're celebrating, and even if you're not celebrating, I hope you have a wonderful week ahead in the lead up to the holiday. Hope you have a fantastic weekend that encapsulates the holiday. And I would encourage you to take some time off from the crypto markets and really decompress and enjoy that time with family. Thank you so much for watching. If you have time to stick around, you can check out some other crypto videos right here. But until next time, cheers.